Our scripture reading for this morning will be, again, from Exodus 20. We'll be reading verses from verse 1, starting at verse 1 and reading through verse 12. It is found on page 65 of your pew Bibles. Let us listen to God's word for us. Then God spoke all these words, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents to the third and fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son, or your daughter, your male or your female slaves, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving to you." It's the word of the Lord. Eternal God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Christ, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We're at the halfway mark with the Ten Commandments, the Ten Words, as they are called. The Fifth Commandment is the first commandment that has to do with our duties and our obligations to one another. The first few commandments have to do with our relationship with God, and the last six commandments have to do with our relationship with one another. And it's often called the second table of the law. And it's interesting that the second table doesn't start with what we might call the big ones, the big commandments: don't kill, don't steal, don't lie, don't commit adultery. But it starts by commanding us to honor our fathers and our mothers. I used to believe that this commandment was primarily for children, teenagers and below, admonishing them to obey their parents, to listen to their parents, to heed the words of their parents so that they might live long in the land. My mother was fond of saying that a disobedient child lives only half its days. It was a saying that she attributed to the Bible. I never found that exact saying in the Bible, and I had reason to want to know. But I always assumed that what she was referring to was the fifth commandment. And that's how I always interpreted it. Listen to your father and your mother. Obey them so that you might live long in the land, that your days might be long. The Bible, both the Old Testament and the New Testament, has a lot to say about disobedience and about children. In 2 Timothy, we are told that in the last days, people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, and disobedient to their parents, among other things. Sounds pretty much like things are today. But the fifth commandment isn't just for children, it is for all of us. It's for children of all ages. And it's not just about obeying our parents, but it's about honoring them, honoring our fathers and our mothers. The Hebrew word that is translated honor is the word kabod, and it means to make heavy or to attach great weight to. Often in the Bible, it is translated as glory or to glorify. And one of the things that we are constantly instructed to do as God's people is to be an honor-giving people. Not just to be an honorable people, we are called to be honorable people, but we are called to be an honor-giving people. We are called to honor God, to give God honor and glory. That's part of what the first three commandments were about. They were about honoring God. We are called to honor those who have authority over us. Not because they are always right or just, but because authority is necessary for the functioning of any society. Without it, you have chaos, and so we are called to honor those who have authority over us. It's not sometimes something that's easy to do. I was leaving out the other day and was stopped by a police officer for failing to come to a complete stop. And I thought I was being harassed, and so I didn't feel like honoring the authority that had stopped me. I wanted to argue with him, but we are to honor those who have authority over us. We are to honor each other as human beings, no matter what position that human being may hold, no matter what station of life they might be in, because as human beings, we are all made in the image of God, and we are to honor that God-given image in each and every one of us. We are to attach great weight to that, and so we are to honor each other, honor the humanity, the God-given humanity in which we were made. And, of course, we're to honor ourselves. We are to treat ourselves in ways that give honor to ourselves. We're not to dishonor our bodies or dishonor ourselves in any way. We are to honor ourselves. But now, here explicitly in the fifth commandment, we are told to honor our parents. We are told to hold them in the highest esteem and to give them the glory that is owing to them. And please understand that this is not just an individual thing, but this is a social thing. This is a reminder that we are to honor those generations who have come before us, those generations who have sacrificed for us, those generations who have made our lives possible. And so the Lord tells the Israelites that in order for them to live long in the land that he is about to give them, that they are to honor their fathers and their mothers. They are to honor the generations that have come before them. I'm kind of an old-fashioned person in this regard. I think that one of the things that we have gotten away from is honoring those generations who have come before us. And the older I get, the more inclined I am to lament the fact that we don't do that a whole lot anymore. It used to be, and we were discussing this in Bible study the other day, it used to be that when someone older told you to do something, you know, you did it. Whether they was your parents or not, you did it because they were older than you, and that the fact that they were older conferred upon them some authority. We don't do that anymore. I was coming back from the store the other day, and I saw a young lady, and she was eating some ice cream or something, and she discarded the cup, just threw it on the ground, and so I told her to pick it up. I might as well have been talking to the wind. She just looked at me and kept on going. But that's the kind of society we live in today. We live in a society where we don't honor those in positions of authority anymore. We don't honor those who are our elders anymore. But we are called this morning to honor our parents, to honor our fathers and our mothers. We honor our parents, of course, because they are the ones who brought us into the world. They are the ones who named us and who gave us life. Without them, we would not be. So we are to honor them for that. We are to honor our parents because they are the ones who provided for us. They are the ones who sustained our lives. They are the ones who clothed us when we couldn't clothe ourselves. They are the ones who fed us when we couldn't feed ourselves. They are the ones who gave us shelter when we couldn't shelter ourselves. When we were the most dependent, they were the ones who took care of us and who watched over us. And so we are to honor them for that. And we are to honor them because they are the ones who shaped us and formed us and influenced us and who made us who we are. They are the ones who gave us our values. They are the ones who took the time to teach us about God and to bring us to church. Some of us may have gotten here this morning on our own initiative, but I suspect that for most of us, we are here this morning because a parent taught us what it means to come to church. They actually took the time to make us get up on a Sunday morning and to bring us to church and to help us to read the Bible and to teach us to pray. And so we are to honor them for all of that. We are to give them honor. And when we honor them, we are honoring God. We are to honor them because they have been the face of God to all of us. We are to honor them because they represent God to us. And when we honor them, we honor God. The opposite of honoring, of course, is to make light of someone, to diminish their standing, to take them for granted, and to fail to give them the respect that is due to them. And the concern that I have is that as Americans, we become more adept at dishonoring people than we are of honoring them. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but that's just the feeling that I get, that we don't honor people anymore. Maybe it has to do with our democratic temper, but we just don't honor. We're more into humiliating and diminishing and making light of people. I used to be a big sports fan when I was young. Used to like watching sports, but I pretty much stopped watching sports because it got to be not so much about the game, but it got to be a place where people dishonored one another. Wasn't enough to win, but we had to humiliate the other person. Wasn't enough just to run the ball into the end zone, but you had to dance into the end zone and point out to your opponent that they were not your equal. Not enough just to make the shot, but you got to dunk the shot in somebody's face. It's not enough to win and beat someone, but you have to humiliate them. And that's the kind of society that we've become, not just in sports, but in all aspects of life. And instead of honoring people, we dishonor them, we use them, we take their humanity for granted, we make light of them, we humiliate them. But this morning we are called to honor. We are called to honor our parents, to honor our fathers and our mothers. And that's why it's always good to see when someone is honored publicly. A few weeks ago, I saw on the internet where Kevin Durant, who plays for the Oklahoma Thunder, was elected the most valuable player in the National Basketball Association this year. And in his speech, he thanked all the people who had backed him up and encouraged him. But he gave special mention to his mother. He acknowledged the sacrifices that she had made for him. He acknowledged how if it was not for her, he would not be where he was at. And so it was good to see this young man to give honor to his mother in front of millions of people. This is the woman who brought him into the world. This is the woman who took care of him. This is the woman who helped him to grow into the fine young man that he has become. And so he honored her in front of the whole world. And it was a wonderful thing to see. But sometimes honoring our parents can be costly and difficult. In his book, Finding Moses on the Freeway, journalist Chris Hedges, who was a war correspondent for the New York Times, recalled being invited to give a commencement address for Rockford College in Illinois. This was 2 months after the American invasion of Iraq. And so in his speech at the college, he warned of the dangers and the cost of war. And he shared his experience as being a war correspondent, and how war is never something that we should willingly engage in, but how it is always a great evil. But his speech wasn't well received. He was booed and heckled and derided, and eventually he had to cut the speech short. In the following days, he was excoriated in the press and would eventually be fired from his job in the New York Times. But asked if he would do it again, he said he would, because not to have done it would have been to dishonor his father, who had always taught him and shown him to speak the truth, even when the truth is unpopular. Honor your father and your mother. That's what the fifth commandment tells us this morning. But the fifth commandment is more than just acknowledging the sacrifices that our parents have made for us. And it's more than just acknowledging their influence in our lives. To honor our parents means to take care of them, to watch over them and take care of them in their old age. That's the main thrust of what the fifth commandment was all about. It's about taking care of elderly parents when they're no longer able to take care of themselves. Don't leave them destitute. Don't leave them alone. Don't leave them to fend for themselves, but to take care of them. Of course, we're reminded that in the ancient world, they didn't have Social Security as we have it today. They didn't have pension programs. They didn't have 401k plans or anything like that. The only Social Security that people had back then was their children. Children were to be the ones who provided for their elderly parents in their old age. I hear people today say things like, I don't want to be a burden to my children. And that's admirable. But to be human, to be a human being, is to be needy. We all will need people at some time in our lives. None of us can be purely independent at all times. We come into this world being needy. We come into this world needing someone to feed us, needing someone to nurse us, needing someone to take care of us. That's the way we come into the world. And chances are that we will leave this world in the same way. We will leave this world needing someone to take care of us, to watch over us, to help us, to be with us. And so the fifth commandment reminds us, those of us who are children, to honor our fathers and our mothers, to take care of them, to be with them in their old age, not to leave them alone, not to leave them destitute, not to leave them to the mercy of economic forces, but to watch over them and to take care of them. That's what it means to honor them. In 2004, there was a heat wave. I don't know if you remember it, but there was a terrible heat wave in Europe, and thousands of people lost their lives. In France alone, over 15,000 people died in that heat wave. Most of them were elderly. And it was a terrible shame that in a rich and prosperous country like France, that when a heat wave came, that over 15,000 senior adults would lose their lives. People who had children, people who had grandchildren, people who had supposedly had those who loved them, but no one took the time to remember their elderly parents and their elderly grandchildren. No one took the time to see if they were all right. No one took the time to care for them. And so 15,000 people perished. And so we're reminded, we are commanded to look after our elderly parents, to honor them in that way. We are to honor them because, of course, sometimes what comes around goes around. I'm reminded of that Grimm's fairy tale of the elderly father who goes to live with his son and his daughter-in-law, and he has shaking hands, so when he sits down at the table, his hands shake, and he spills food all over himself, and it's an unsightly thing to see. And so the daughter-in-law encourages her husband to take his father to another room and to feed him there. And so during dinner time, he sets apart from the family, and they feed him out of a bowl, make him eat his supper out of a bowl, but his hands still shake, and he still spills his food, and one day he drops the bowl, and the bowl falls and breaks, and it enrages the daughter-in-law, and so she says, "We're going to treat you as a pig. If you live like a pig, we're going to treat you as a pig," and so they make a pig's trough for him to eat out of, and so the old man eats out of a pig trough. And one day, this couple sees their own kid, and he is sitting there, and he's making something, and they ask him what he's making, and he says, "I'm making a pig trough so that when I get big, I'll be able to feed you and mommy." It's a sobering story, but what comes around goes around. Sometimes the way that we treat our parents, our own kids are watching and looking, and the way we treat our parents, sometimes maybe the way that we ourselves are setting up ourselves to be treated. So we are to honor our parents, to take care of them, to watch out for them, to look after them, to visit them every once in a while, maybe give them a call, but honor your parents. Now, just one other thing. Some of you are probably saying, but what about those parents who are just awful parents? What about those parents who've just been cruel, who've been abusive, who've been cold, who've been uncaring, neglectful? What about those parents? Are we to honor those people too? Certainly, we're not to honor those kinds of parents. Well, first of all, we need to be reminded that we are commanded to honor our parents not because they are perfect, but we are called to honor them because God commanded us to honor them. Even though the fifth commandment comes after the commandments reminding us of our responsibilities to God, we are reminded that our parents are not God. Even though they are the face of God to us when we are young, even though they represent God to us, they are not God. They are just human beings, broken human vessels like all of us, flawed human beings made in the image of God. And if nothing else, we are to honor that. We are to honor that God-given humanity in them, the same humanity that gave birth to our own humanity. We are to honor them in that way. We don't necessarily have to honor the way that we have been treated. We don't necessarily have to honor the abuse and the neglect, but we do honor their humanity and we do honor their position. They are our parents, regardless of what kind of parents they might have been. We are to honor them, and we are to extend to them the same grace that has been extended to all of us. We have all been forgiven. We are all flawed and broken human beings, and we have all been forgiven. And because we have been forgiven, we are called to forgive those who have been our parents, but who have not been terribly good parents. The Bible tells us to honor our parents, honor our fathers and mothers so that we might live long in the land. That's what God tells the Israelites. If you want to live long in this land that I'm about to give you, it's important that you show proper respect, that you give proper esteem to your elders. And that same message is one for us to ponder too. If we want to have a rich, prosperous nation, we want to live long as a nation and be prosperous as a nation and be blessed as a nation, we are called to remember those generations who have gone before us, those generations upon whose shoulders we stand, those people who have helped to provide for us and helped to create the world in which we live. We are to remember them. We are to honor them. We are to help to bless them because they have made us who we are. And so we go forward under their power, under their influence, and we go forward under the influence of God, honoring our parents, because in honoring them, we give honor to God. Through the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. Let us pray. Eternal God, we give you thanks for your loving presence with us today. We give you thanks for reminding us to honor those who are responsible for our being here. Help us to esteem and respect and to attach appropriate weight to those who are our parents, whether they are our biological parents, whether they are our parents in the faith, whether they are people who took the time to nurture us and to guide us and direct us. Help us to give them the respect that is owing to them, and to give you the respect and the weight and the honor and glory that is owing to you. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.